what you want said will be said. We just thank you for your grace in Jesus' name. All right, we're continuing with a no-nonsense look at Book of Revelation. This is Wednesday evening, 12:20. And the title of this is For the Elect's Sake. First, I want to turn to Revelation 22:20. This is something I try to remember every day to say. You know, Danny had this a few weeks ago, and it's he which testifieth these things. A little bit loud, I think. A little bit. Does it sound okay? Maybe I just breathed into it. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The Lord said to Danny that not enough people in the body of Christ are saying that, requesting. That's like saying, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven, really. And a lot of people are, you know, sitting on their suitcases, waiting for a rescue, waiting for a bailout to leave this sorry place. Well, you know what? What's so sad about that is, wherever they go, they're going to mess that up too. You know, if they're not going to occupy where God gave them to occupy, you know, I know in heaven he has absolute rule and there won't be any of that shenanigans going on there. But the point is, the earth he's given to man. So we're not looking at a bailout. We're looking at a reset. So we're going to look tonight about for the elect's sake. This is Matthew 24:22, and you can turn there if you want. I've typed a few of these out so you can see it for yourself. Matthew 24:22 says, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now look, same chapter, verse 37. So as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Who are the elect? The Strong says the elect are select or favorite. Matthew 24:31 says, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. You know, I think about the president, he's called the trumpet, and I think about how he has united the whole world. There are people having rallies all over the world, Stop the Steal rallies for the president. They want, Donald Trump is their president. The trumpet has sounded, and God is gathering all of his kids together all over the world. Now we're going to look at a few scriptures here that have about the elect in it. The first one's in Mark chapter 13. The first verse is 22. For false Christ and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. Then verse 27, And then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Well, the dome, the firmament, is called heaven. In Genesis, I think it's verse 8, chapter 1, verse 8. So he's going to gather together under heaven all of us, all of us. Okay, now turn with me to Luke, chapter 18. Verse 7. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? But I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Sitting and waiting for the rapture don't require any faith, does it? But occupying does. Okay, now turn with me to Romans 8:33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. See, he's the justifier of our faith. He is the one that says you're okay and you're on your way. He doesn't condemn us. He doesn't blame us. He sees us as blameless, even though we're not perfect. Do you understand? We're being molded in his image. We're renewing our mind. We're coming into the image of his dear son. But as far as his children, he sees us like a grandparent sees a grandchild. That's the most precious thing on earth, and they don't do nothing wrong in my eyes, even if they throw a wall-eyed fit. That's just the way God looks us at us. We're the apple of his eye. All right, Colossians 3:12. We are his elect. As I read these scriptures, you're going to see that individually and corporately. Colossians 3:12. Is that right? All right, let me look. Yeah. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and longsuffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. That's what makes us the elect. We're people of love. If you observe the people on the left, they are so full of hate. It's just staggering to see the venom that comes out of them, because they are under Satan, who has no love in him. And he's a liar, the father of lies. So he has no concept of God's love, only hate. So, but the elect, we are the elect, and we walk in love. All right, Titus. Just the first verse in Titus. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. All right, 1 Peter 1. One and two. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. All right, now go to 2 John 1. the first verse and the 13th verse. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not only I, but also all they that have known the truth. In verse 13, the children of thy elect sister greet thee. All right, out of the Strong's, the word shortened. He says he's going to shorten the days for the elect. It's 2856 in the Strong's, but it says it comes from the root 2849, which means to curtail, chastise, to dock, or abridge. So he's going to prevent the full measure and what would he has ordained, I guess, to chastise the wicked. He is going to shorten that for the sake of the elect, lest one of us be hurt or one of us be harmed. God has a rescue mission for the elect. The elect are not to be taken from the earth, but are protected by God's angels and their arsenal. I say it's time for some hail. Hailstones. We're going to look at that. Because that's the way God avenges. That's what he's done throughout Scripture. We're going to begin in Revelation, then we're going to go to some scriptures in the Old Testament. The first one's in Revelation chapter 11. Verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders, which sat before God on their seats, fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto the servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. When you see the Battle of Armageddon described, a lot of times you see the thunderings and the lightnings and the hail and all of that stuff. Okay, now go to Revelation 16. Start with 17. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were found, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven. Every stone about the weight of a talent, which I don't know how heavy a talent is. Let me look here in my reference. Maybe it'll say. Well, I'm not seeing it here. The large hail, a talent weighs 60 to 100 pounds. That's one big hailstone. 60 to 100 pounds. It says may help to destroy cities. So when God's hail comes, it's not like those little golf ball size or whatever that we've seen that we think are big. 60 to 100 pounds. Wow. Yeah, let me read that again. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail. For the plague thereof was exceeding great. I'd say so. But you see here the three cities. After this hailstorm, evidently this precedes this, but it says here that every island fled away and the mountains were not found. It makes me wonder, did it just break them apart? The hailstones? I mean, that's pretty massive. Okay, now we're going to go over into the book of Joshua. This is the way that I believe God does his battles. Him and his angels. Joshua chapter 10. He's going to take care of his elect. I'm so thankful to be on the right side of things. Joshua chapter 10. There's a scripture, I didn't find it, but I believe it's in Job, where it talks about the Lord has storehouses of hail. I should have probably looked up storehouses. I don't know if it words it like that, but it indicates that God has storehouses for the day of battle. I'll have to look that up. Now it came to pass when Adoni-Zedek, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. Wherefore Adoni-Zedek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Hoham, king of Hebron, and unto Piram, king of Jarmuth, and unto Japhia, king of Lachish, and unto Debir, king of Eglon, saying, come up unto me and help me, that we may smite Gibeon, for it hath made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. Therefore the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up, they and all their host, and encamped before Gibeon and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp of Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servants, come up to us quickly and save us and help us. For all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth Horon and smote them to Azekah and Makeda. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down to Beth Horon that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah and they died. They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. I say so. 6 to 100 pound weight. And let's just keep reading here. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had vented themselves upon their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? That's the book I'm reading. So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like it before it or after it that the Lord hearkened to the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Hey, that's the kind of fighting I want for me. You know, it's really amazing in the book of Jasher when they talk about the 12 sons of Jacob. They, when the little daughter that was 12 years old was raped, she was, you know, you could say it was pedophilia, from this heathen nation, he grabbed her and he forced her and then he put her in his house. And Jacob's sons, you know, ends up going in there, tricks them into being circumcised so they're all sore so that they can come in later, and they slew the whole bunch. That wasn't the end of it. That they ended up killing king after king after king after king until they slaughtered thousands. And they were, some of them, those big giants. And it was like they had a yell. And when they would yell, it's like heaven would open up and intervention would come. It was something like, I have never read anything so fantastic in my life. Now I can kind of understand about David and his mighty men and some of the things they did that were supernatural. But they were so afraid of Jacob's sons and Jacob too. And whenever Joseph, when he was in Egypt and his brothers, there's a lot more too than what we see in the King James Version. The, you know, not the current one, the older King James that I bought, it does have the book of Jasher in it. But the thing was, is they were going to try to intimidate Joseph because they thought he was a prince of Egypt. And they let off that yell and all this stuff happened in the heavens. And then Joseph does the same thing. And his brother goes, only a son of Jacob could have done that. You know, it was like, and it was like that, when they died out, that died out with them. Dana called me on the phone. She said, man, that's something else, isn't it? And I said, yeah, it is. And I said, yeah, that's scary. I mean, this yell that you could hear it. I mean, it was just like, wow. So God really defended them. But I'm thinking, Lord, if you were that great in the old covenant and you showed up like that, how much more so in this day? Is it that we're in a time where, like I've been saying, the atmosphere is so full of the evil that we haven't been able to get things broken through so much because of the evil thoughts and the evil speaking of men? That's why we find ourselves in the days of Noah. Because in the days of Noah, it was extinction. If he had not rescued Noah, there would be nobody left. Nobody. And I feel that way today. When I hear people talk about that mealy-mouthed Christian crap, about, well, I guess we just ought to let the chips fall where they are and just, you know, accept old Biden into the fold, you know, that kind of thing. When you hear conservatives say that, people come out that are supposedly patriots, even military that are highly decorated, and they're saying this stuff, I'm thinking, you don't know what you're saying. Because they aim to take us out. They don't know. They have no idea. And I thought, oh, it just makes me so, I can't even describe how I feel, like, what is wrong with you? Lord, what's wrong with the church? What's wrong that they're not listening, that they're not hearing, they're not discerning? What can we do to get them to wake up? Now, I know there's a lot that do. I don't know what percent of the population, but still. I'm thinking, well, I guess you just identify who they really are. I guess so. But anyway, let me get back on track here. Joshua 10. Fantastic deliverances from the Lord. Men that weren't even spirit-filled, calling out by faith and commanding the sun to stand still. How much more so those that walk by faith, those who are led by the Spirit, can expect God's deliverance when they need it? Okay, Isaiah. I'm telling you, I'm getting to where I don't have any patience with these kind of people. You know, and I'm thinking, Lord, I was asking the Lord this evening, and he spoke to me. I said, Lord, what is our end going to be? Because on one front, things look bleak. On the other side, you get encouraged, but you think, I know it's a big sting operation. I know that they have to expose it all and get it all. They can't leave any of it. And I can understand the slowness of it and the tediousness of it and all of that. But what, I said, Lord, well, you know, and he just said, I've called you to set people free from the strongholds of your mind, of their minds. That's what you're going to be doing. These people you're just getting disgusted with, that's what you're going to do. That's what your call is. I thought, oh, yeah, just it'll be in a greater measure. Even going into 1,000 years reign of peace, people are going to go into that millennial with unrenewed minds. They're going to have to be taught. Just like they have come under the lash, under the slave system of the cabal, or the beast system, they are going to have to learn to walk in the Spirit. They're going to have to learn God's ways, because they're not going to know. Now it's going to be easy for them to pick it up, and it's going to be easy for them to learn, because they're not going to have the opposition and like pulling teeth to get somebody, you know. That's not going to be there. Those hindrances are going to be removed, where men will be more open to hearing the truth. And probably after this deliverance and what all God's doing and turning this nation around, like he's told us before, where sin has abounded, grace is going to much more abound. The grace is going to be there for them to get it. Where before it just seemed like hindrance, hindrance, hindrance. I look at my kids, I look at my grandkids, and I said, Lord, I thank you. They're clothed in their right mind, seated at your feet. And thank God that where sin has abounded, to where it just seemed like they just want to gravitate to that, that grace is going to much more abound. They're going to be like, I can't wait to get there and get in God's will and do God's will. That's all I care about. Instead of these useless, senseless, flittering away, wasting your time, lives. Okay, Isaiah 30. I still got some preaching in me, even after two shoots. This is 30:30. And the Lord caused his glorious voice to be heard, and shall show the lightning down of his arm, and with the indignation of his anger, with the flame of a devouring fire, and scattering and tempest and hailstones. He don't need nukes. Got 60 to 100 pound hailstones. All right, Ezekiel chapter 13. Just like he did it through the Old Testament, we're going to see in the end of days these hailstones God uses in battle. Ezekiel 13:11. Say unto them which dab it with untempered mortar that it shall fall. There shall be an overflowing shower, and yea, O great hailstone shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it. Let's see. Yeah. Lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be laid unto you? Where's the daubing wherewith ye have daubed it? Therefore thus saith the Lord God, I will even rend it with a stormy wind in my fury, and there shall be an overflowing shower in mine anger, and great hailstones in my fury to consume it. So I will break down the wall that ye have daubed with untempered mortar, and bring it down to the ground, so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered, and it shall fall, and ye shall be consumed in the midst thereof, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Does that sound like the last days? Does that sound like what he's going to do? I mean, he's draining the swamp. He's taken, I've heard this before, I don't know who had heard it from, the God has taken America down to the roots. I remember that dream I had of, it was in D.C. at some historical building. It was kind of an aqua color. I don't know where it was. It was inside. And it seemed like the whole building was shaking and the dust was flying down. And the Lord was saying, I'm shaking the foundation of this nation. I am shaking it to the core. He's not only doing this nation, but every nation. They're all got their eyes on America. waiting in the same angst that we are in to see the outcome, because they're thinking, if America goes down, we go down. If they go down, we don't have any hope. That's why they're all over the world rallying for President Trump, because at least they've got enough sense to see. Sometimes, I guess you can't see the forest for the trees. When you're in the midst of it, sometimes you can't see it like people on the outside can. And two, I heard this yesterday, that this particular person was talking about they have to go to other nations to get their news because we are so suppressed here. They're censoring. A young man testified concerning what that deep state swamp rat rhino governor certifying the votes in Arizona. This young man said, I would rather resign than have certified those votes. Well, Twitter took down his account because he made that statement. Twitter took down the young man's account that made that statement about that crooked governor certifying fraudulent ballots. Okay, Ezekiel 38. This is Magog, Gog and Magog battle, just a portion of it, which is after the thousand-year reign. Verse 17. Thus saith the Lord God, art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring thee against them? And it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. You know what? I don't know how it's going to be, but sometimes when I read, I kind of get the feeling that all the land's going to be the land of Israel. We'll see. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the field, all the creeping things that creep upon the earth and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence, and the mountains shall be thrown down and the steep places shall fall and every wall shall fall to the ground. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord. Every man's sword shall be against his brother, and I will plead against him with a pestilence and with blood. And I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him an overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire, and brimstone. We heard about Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Ain't nobody do battle like the Lord. All right, Exodus chapter 9. Give me a drink. Verse 13. Wherever in the Bible the deep state shows up, or the swamp, or the beast, whatever you want to call it, all the same thing. It's just Babel. It was Nebuchadnezzar's dream of the tree that was cut down, but the roots were left in the ground. So Babylon has risen over and over again. Now, never before has it been infiltrated throughout the whole earth like it is now, but it has. All right, verse 13. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. The Lord is tired of his people being in bondage. He's tired of the Americans being in bondage, and he's tired of the rest of the world being in bondage. That's what he's doing. He's going to shorten the days for his elect. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. They're pushing him to it. They're so haughty. They've built their towers. Well, the towers are coming down. The towers always come down. For now I will stretch out my hand, that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed, for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. As yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go. Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Send therefore now, and gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die. Well, it's 60 to 100 pounds. It's not like Yul Brynner and them little bitty hail that dropped, you know, when he was on that balcony in the movie. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt upon man and upon beast and upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. I mean, he ripped that place up. There was nothing left. I mean, nothing left. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail. And the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast, and the hail smote every herb of the field and brake every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. Let me see how many scriptures. 35. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Lord, for it is enough that there be no more mighty thunderings in hell, and I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. And Moses said unto him, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how that the earth is the Lord's. But as for thee and thy servants, I know that ye will not yet fear the Lord. And the flax and the barley was smitten, for the barley was in the ear, and the flax was bold. But the wheat and the rye were not smitten, for they were not grown up. And Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh, and spread abroad his hands unto the Lord, and the thunders and hail ceased. The rain was not poured upon the earth. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more, and hardened his heart, he and his servants. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses. Well, I'm telling you, they keep messing with God's children, it's coming down. I mean, it's coming down. You know, I don't pick these subjects, and sometimes I kind of go, hailstones, Lord? Hailstones? What's his arsenal? In the Gog and Magog war, it says, fire comes down from heaven. Well, there's big old rocks follow that fire. We just saw what it did to the land of Egypt. Okay, Psalms 18. I'm going to breeze just a second. Bear with me a second. I'm going to breeze through here and see if I can see that in Job about the hailstones. It must say something a little different for me to not... I'm sure I probably marked it. I tell you, when I did that study, I went through and marked everything because I saw things in the Word that I never knew were there. Seemed like it says something about like... maybe a storehouse. Well, I'll have to find it because maybe it's not Job. Okay, this is Psalms 18, 12 and 13. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of the waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. Okay, Psalm 78. He destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamore trees with frost. He gave up their cattle also to the hail and their flocks to hot thunderbolts. Quite a storm. All right, Psalms 105:32. He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. Okay, we're going to read one last passage and we'll be done. 2 Kings. I want you to be encouraged today. The Lord's going to take care of us. We just have to trust the plan. 6:8. God be for us, who can be against us? Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. The man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. The king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Well, if he's with them, he's with us.